shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet. This is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
Hello, everyone. Hello, everywhere. Welcome again to another edition of the Happy Station Show. It's really nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. Today, we bring you our final part of our five-part series called Listener's Choice, where you, the listeners, could choose which Happy Station Show interviews you would like to hear again. We're now at number five, and this week it's going to be Frank Ifield, who was the first celebrity interview that we did on the show when we brought the show back in, was it 2008? Yeah, 2008. Wow. No, 2009. I was going a bit ahead of myself. Anyway, that's what we have coming up on today's program. Our website, by the way, is www.pcjmedia.com. And if you wish to get in touch with us, stay tuned because I'll be giving out that information later on in the show. First, however, let's kick off with a request that we have for some Simon and Garfunkel. Here they are with He Was My Brother on the International Happy Station.
Older than I, he was my brother, 23 years old the day he died. Cursed my brother to his face. Go home, outsider. This town's gonna be your burying place. Hated what was wrong. He was my brother. Tears can't bring him back to me. He was my brother.
Simon and Garfunkel, He Was My Brother, beginning today's edition of the International Happy Station. And today we're in our fifth part series of Listener's Choice that we ended the year with, looking back at some of the interviews that you wanted to hear again. Today, we bring you our final program, and that is with Frank Ifield. And we're going to do it next year as well, because it was a rather big success. So, today, in our final series of Listener's Choice from you, who you decided to program this show, we now bring you Frank Ifield. Here he is with Lovesick Blues on the International Happy Station.
I got a feeling cold of blue, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. And I don't know what I'll do. All I do is sit and cry. Oh, oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Lordy, when I thought I'm gonna cry. She do me, she do you, she's got that kind of loving. Lord, I love to hear her when she calls me sweet baby. Such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it's all over. I lost my heart, it seems. Well, I've grown so used to you somehow that I know nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm a lonesome, I got the lovesick blues. When I'm in love with a pretty little gal. That's what's the matter with me. When I'm in love with a pretty little gal. But she don't care about me. Well, I tried and I tried just to keep her satisfied. But she just would not stay. And now that she is leaving, this is all I can say. I got a feeling cold of blue, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. And I don't know what I'll do. All I do is sit and cry. Oh, oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Lordy, when I thought I'm gonna cry. She'd do me, she'd do you, she'd got the kind of loving. Lord, I'd love to hear her when she called me sweet baby. Such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it's all over. I lost my heart, it seems. Well, I've grown so used to you somehow that I know nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm a lonesome, I got the lovesick blues. Well, I'm a lonesome, I got the lovesick blues.
Lovesick Blues, Frank Ifield here on the Happy Station Show. And Frank Ifield is our special guest on this edition of the program. The interview that we did, by the way, was over 2 hours. Now, one of my first questions to Frank in that 2 hours, that began the whole 2 hours, I should say, was, well, the yodeling. Because his musical director and conductor and arranger, who was also the head of EMI's A&R department, Nori Paramore, who also had an orchestra of his own, I said to him, I said, okay, you came from Australia and you wanted to have a successful pop career. What was Nori Paramore's impression when you started yodeling on that first session? And this is what he had to say.
Well, I've got to tell you, he was absolutely gobsmacked. And the reason I say that is that what happened, Keith, was I had entered into a year's contract with them to release, I think it was 4 records in that year. Mm-hmm. I'd released a couple that made the bottom half of the charts, but if I wasn't going to come up with a biggie, my contract was going to be terminated.
Right.
And so what happened was I went against my manager, who told me at the time he didn't want me to yodel, and I thought, I'd a heck with this, because this is what I've been doing all these years, you say. But I only did a little bit. I just stuck a little bit of a yodel in it, and Nori Paramore looked at me, and his eyes went sideways, and he said, what's this? Now you've come up with the thing I've been looking for. Why haven't you done it before? And I said, well, my manager told me not to do it. So I was in a bit of a cleft stick at the time, mm-hmm. and I sang him this song, and he said, he remembered the song, of course, because it was a jazz classic. And Nori Paramore, being a jazz man himself, he used to work with a band called Pieces of Eight in England. And he, having heard and been very familiar with the song, suddenly heard me dropping chords and putting in different interpretations on the thing and singing it like a country song. And so then he said, listen, I'll tape it for what you're doing and I'll take it away. And that night he rang me and he said, Frank, I think we're onto something. This one has the jingle of money attached to it. And how right he was.
Well, you know, I was listening to a clip, actually, of you on a show called Australia's Hour of Song.
Oh, yes.
Which is actually up on the website, frankifield.com. And it's interesting because from the material that you were doing then to the stuff that you did when you went to the UK, it was very different in the way it was still country, but you also did a bit of jazz and a bit of pop music of that day. What was the reaction from people back home who were familiar with you doing, you know, the yodeling songs and the hillbilly songs? Did they go, oh, he's a hillbilly artist. He can never do, you know, a song by George Gershwin or whatever.
Yes, well, the thing was, but just before I left Australia to go to Britain, I was first on television with a show called Campfire Favourites. And on that particular show, although it was singing around the campfire, I did everything from Ave Maria to I Believe and all those wonderful songs, the ballads at the time. And so I'd had lots of experience in changing the styles of not just singing just country.
Mm-hmm.
I was well accepted in the country era, but people started to accept me for doing things with the huge orchestras and things like that. So when I got out to Britain, I'd had all that experience that I had here in Australia behind me, which is a godsend to me over there, because although they were not really sort of latched into what was what we term country music over here, in Britain, they weren't really au fait with that kind of music at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of fresh to them.
Frank, let's actually take a listen to one of your songs. Actually, it's the classic San Antonio Rose. Here's Frank Ifield.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, a song of old San Antonio, where in dreams I live, where the memory beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found, beside the Alamo, enchantment strange as the blue up above, the moonlit paths that only she would know, still hears my broken song of love. Moon in all its splendor, know only my heart, call back my rose, rose of sand. Lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak to me again of my love, my own broken songs. Empty words I know still live in my heart all alone. For that moonlit pass by the Alamo, and rose my rose of San Antonio, San Antonio, San Antonio
San Antonio Rose, Frank Ifield, and Frank Ifield joins us on the line today. Frank, you know, it's funny. There was another memory of yours that I had one day. I was going on vacation with my parents, and we had an 8-track. Do you remember those, right?
Yes, I do.
And the 8-track, my mom put this 8-track in, and my dad's reaction was, ah, there he is, the man who can yodel to an opera.
I like it.
Now, the yodeling was a trademark of yours, right?
It did become a trademark, but as I say, because my manager told me not to yodel, I was just doing little breaks, voice breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I actually did the London Palladium, which is the reason I went over to Britain in the first place. It wasn't to make records, it was that I wanted to play the Palladium. records I regarded pretty much as a sideline, and it turned out to be that records were the most important thing, and then I got the Palladium. And I couldn't ask for anything better than that first hour appear at the Palladium, because it wasn't just doing the show, it was also a Royal Command performance.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was the Queen Mum heard that I yodeled, and it was she just loved yodeling. And she sent a message around the back and asked me to yodel. So I got up on stage, and I did one for her called She Taught Me to Yodel. And because it went over so well, I mean, let's face it, she took precedence over my manager at that time. And because it went over so well, we stuck it on the second record after I Remember You, which also sold a million, which was Lovesick Blues on the A side. That was the one that was the main one. But I put the other one on the flip side, you see, and both sides jumped up in the charts. But it was mainly because of the Queen Mum liking yodeling that really sort of got it so popular. And then it did become associated with me then.
Were you nervous at all? I mean, going from Australia to the UK to something like the London Palladium, I mean, were you like scared and petrified? Did you say, you know, well, I've been doing this and, you know, back home for a while, I have enough confidence?
I got to tell you, because I was petrified, particularly when you have these big dreams here in Australia of wanting to play these big places and do tours and have hits and all that. Then when I got out there and you actually see these things materializing, it scares your heart to death. I mean, suddenly, there you are, you've got to now prove it. You know what I mean? And it does scare you, yes.
Because you were actually one of the pioneers of bringing Australian music to, you know, to the UK and even to the US.
Yes, now, that I didn't know I was doing that. You know, I mean, I'm often reminded of that now. Like here in Australia, people say, you know, you were the pioneer, you did this and you did that. And I say to them, and quite rightly so, if you think about it, I didn't know I was pioneering.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know I was trailblazing. All I was doing was getting gigs and know, earning some money to put the bread on the table.
Well, last year I interviewed Tina Arena, and I said to her, what do you think has been a big influence for Australian music around the world? And she mentioned groups like the Seekers.
Yes.
She mentioned Olivia Newton-John, and she also mentioned a singer my mum used to listen to, Frank Ifield.
God bless her. Actually, Tina Reid she started off here in a television series, and I did that television show with her. And I knew that she had that sort of talent at that time, because I'm pretty good at spotting good talent, you know.
Because you've been very busy with promoting talent.
Well, actually, it frustrated me when I got back here to Australia to see how much talent there was here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a frustration. I decided what we're going to do is we're going to run a big country music festival right in the city. And I've been running it now for, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone on from strength to strength. And I thought, that's not enough. What we've got to do is I'll single one of them out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I think has got international potential. And I've been giving an award called the International Frank Ifield Spur Award to try and promote them overseas. And I've had a lot of success in doing that now, Keith, and it really gives me a great kick to see that some of the artists that I've promoted are now getting recognition overseas and starting to work, you know. And I gave one, in fact, last Thursday to a young lady called Donna Boyd. And she is just such a knockout performer.
Hmm.
And I'm hoping that that's going to sort of get her worldwide recognition.
Right.
And it seems that I think that's going to happen for her.
Well, Frank, let's now take a listen to one of my favorite songs that you do, actually. It's Stardust from the Columbia LP, Portrait in Song.
Now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadow of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music
music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why I spend my lonely nights dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. Ago, and now my consolation is in the stardust of a song beside a garden wall. When stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses grow. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will.
Field used to live in Carter's Road, Dural.
I did indeed.
So did my mother.
Oh, isn't
my
that
mother's
amazing?
My mother's family are the Henderson family. You were at school, you were in the same class as brother Barry Henderson. This is going back a long time.
I remember because I went down to school down here at a little school called Dural Primary School.
That's right. The little local school. And in the classroom, my mother came from a very large family. There was about seven children in the family. She was one of the older kids. But the kids your age were Barry and Bobby and young Janice, who was very fond of you.
Now, isn't that a lovely story?
Now.
Let me just tell the listeners and tell Keith that Dural in those days, and we're talking back in about 1948.
Yes, in the early 50s, yes.
And up to the early 50s. Mm. And Dural at that time, you would be lucky really to have had about sort of maybe two dozen families in the whole
Absolutely.
Of
and the Henderson family were one of the farming families of
I
the
remember
area.
Remember the Henderson family, isn't that funny? That's lovely.
No, well, actually, I was talking to another chap yesterday, Terence Egan. He's another Australian. Now, he had a great story about his grandmother, Mrs. Berg, his grandmother from Bow Desert, Queensland. That's just outside of Brisbane.
Yes.
Now, she had a china cabinet in her lounge room, of course, with all her best crockery, her best ornaments. Now, in there was a photograph of her boyfriend. It was there during the 60s and the 70s. Now, she told everybody that that young man in the photograph was her boyfriend. It was actually a photo of you that she'd cut off the fantails packet. So Mrs. Berg of Queensland had your photograph. Now, her grandson, Terence, said that he believes the photograph lasted in the cabinet for up to 30 years. And I don't think she was the only one. I think that throughout Australia, there are people of an older age group that still treasure the photographs cut off the fantail packet of young
lovely
Frank Ifield.
Evelyn, and I haven't met up with you yet, have I?
No, you haven't.
In fact, you actually went out on a date together in 1950.
I know.
That is lovely. Yvonne, we must get together at some time. Oh,
well,
I'd
next,
love to be able to
well,
see
I've,
you.
You're doing the Galston Festival, aren't you?
That's yes, we do it every year.
Yes.
And we do it on the second Sunday in September.
Oh, okay.
Year.
Well, if I come down there. Yes, because
I would love to meet you.
Well, the Henderson family moved from Dural to Castle Hill. That's, you know, that's why they kept in great touch with you. But even though this was your past, you know, you were only, I think you were, well, under 14. I think you did your TV performance at 13. Even though you went off overseas and made big, still there in the hearts of the Dural residents and the Henderson family was young Frank Ifield.
Frankie Ifield.
Little Frankie Ifield.
That's why they don't recognise me now, probably.
Ah, daybreak, another new day. The mist on the meadow is drifting away. For it's daybreak, the sun's in the sky, and the flowers break through their blanket of dew. Sunrise, how lovely it seems, just to see from my window, there's a sky full of dreams. And as the white clouds sail on through the blue, yeah, at daybreak, I daydream of you. At daybreak, another new day. The mist on the meadow is drifting away. For it's daybreak, the sun's in the sky, and the flowers break through their little blanket of dew. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sunrise, how lovely it seems, just to see from my window, there's a sky full of dreams. And as the white clouds sail on through the blue, yeah, at daybreak, baby, I daydream of you. Just to see from my window, not a sky full of dreams. And as the white clouds sail on to the blue, yeah, I daybreak, baby, I daydream of you.
Daybreak, Frank Ifield, from 1963. Frank joins us on the line from Australia, all the way down under. What's the weather like over there?
It's very hot at the moment. You wouldn't believe we're coming into autumn. It's still very hot from the sun. We've had a dreadful summer here, I've got to be honest with you. It's been so dry, you know. But it's just started. We have had a few weeks of rain, which has helped to sort of boost the reservoirs up a bit. But it's still very low. Keith, you know that song you just played, Daybreak?
Mm-hmm.
That has been a favorite of mine since I first heard it. And if I tell you who I first heard it from, it dates right back to about 1957, I think, 56 or 57. And it was Al Hibbler.
That's
and
right.
If you remember Al Hibbler, you'll remember him for things like, what was that beautiful song he did? Unchained Melody. And I recorded that one as well because I was so into Al Hibbler singing. He was so unique in his styling. And I recorded quite a few of his songs, but that was one of them, and because he was a blind man, and it particularly appealed to me because he was singing about the color of daybreak.
Well, let me ask you, Frank, I mean, when you were growing up, what kind of music were your parents listening at home? Like, did that have an influence on you?
My father used to love to, you know, listen to Bing Crosby, and of course we had lots of the songs of the time that my mum used to listen to. And she influenced me greatly, too. And she loved Rosemary Clooney. And so did I. You know, I thought she was a wonderful artist.
Come on to my house, to my house,
yeah,
I'm going to give you.
But my favorites at the time were people like Frankie Lane. I did adore Frankie Lane. I thought he was just tremendous. And I still do. I listen to Frankie Lane up and down. It takes me right back to those days. I just loved his songs. And because there was a lot of wonderful performers at that time. Tennessee Ernie Ford. Do you remember him?
16 Tons, right?
Hey, you've got a good memory.
Now, Frank, you went from Australia to England and then back to Australia, right?
Yes. Now, you make it sound like that all happened very quickly. It didn't really. I was actually 3 years in England trying to crack it, you, of course, my first thought was to make a world tour, which would include getting back to Australia and getting back to my family. And every year from then on, I always came back over here to Australia and did a tour here, you know, and went back to England again. And it was only about 8 years ago that I actually came back here to live. And I got remarried because I ended up having a divorce in England. And then I came out here and I got remarried to an English girl again, would you believe? An English girl in Australia. Complicated, isn't it?
Sounds like it could be an episode of Neighbours.
But I love living back out here again, and I've enjoyed being here. But I do miss my friends that I made in Britain, too. So I'm hoping to get the situation where I go back out there every year again out to Britain. And so far I've been lucky, and I do hope that I can continue going out there, you know, every year just to touch base with all my friends and people I know over there, both not just in the business. I have a lot of friends outside of the business as well, and I do miss them.
At the Royal York in downtown Toronto, where you performed, the last time I was in Toronto, in the lobby of the hotel, they have pictures of all the people that have performed there through the years, and your picture is up there.
Right. I wonder how old I was then. Yes, I used to go over there fairly regularly to do tours, I only ever played Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get round to the other places, but I only ever seemed to find time to do Toronto, because Toronto always used to book me for 2 weeks at a time.
Right.
So there was never enough time to do anywhere else, so it was very difficult.
Well, let me ask you, Frank, about a TV appearance that you did in the 60s on, at the time, which was the most popular TV show in the U.S., The Ed Sullivan Show, which they've actually repackaged some of the episodes and they're syndicating them around the world. What was that like for you?
Well, it was fantastic because you only had to sing a song on that show, and the following week it was in the charts. And it did help me tremendously from that point of view, just to make an appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. And I did probably about half a dozen of those shows over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just marvelous to me, really, because, but he's one of these people, he never knew quite what was going to happen. I remember doing a Christmas show with him, and I got up and I sang, Out of Nowhere was the song I sang. And it was the first time I'd performed that particular song on that show. And he didn't tell me that being a Christmas show, I was going to be required to sing a Christmas song. And he just suddenly threw it on me. And I said, oh yes. And I dished off and I got the guitar and I came on and I did Mary's Boy Child, which is about the only Christmas song that came into my head right away to sing. And the orchestra came and followed it beautifully. And I thought, well, isn't that wonderful?
Because that was live television.
Sorry?
That was live television.
Oh, yes. And anything could happen. And he made sure it did.
How do you choose your songs, Frank?
They come from all sorts of directions, actually. I suppose you could call it a natural ear for, well, things that I like particularly, you know. And it just so happens they turned out to be reasonably commercial at the same time. But I've always had a desire to sing good music with good lyrics. I've never been able to get up and do a gobbledygook song. You know? I mean, there are hundreds and thousands of them today, and I hear them and I think, oh, gosh, I could never have done that in a million years.
Well, Frank, thank you so much to talk to us this afternoon. I mean, you're definitely a legend in music, and it's really an honor to actually have you on our show.
Keith, it's been a pleasure, my friend. I've really enjoyed talking to you both, actually, because you're so inspiring, and I really enjoyed it. And we must do it again, eh? Thank you very much, Keith, and thank you, Yvonne.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Runs away with the day. The grass that was green is now hay. The world goes around without even a sound, and it looks like the summer is over. The rains tumble down from the sky. Young swallows have learned how to fly. The leaves that were green are no longer so green, and it looks like the summer is over. The sun and the moon take turns in the sky. The days drift on by. The ground one by one. The breeze hurries by without even goodbye, and it looks like the summer is over. The sun turns in the sky. The days drift on by too soon. The meadows are kissed by cool autumn mist. Far away now is June. The birds fly away to the sun. The leaves touch the ground one by one. The breeze hurries by without even goodbye, and it looks like the summer is over. And it looks like the summer is over. Yes, it looks like the summer.
The Summer is Over, Frank Ifield. And by the way, the woman's voice who you heard in the interview, her name is Yvonne Glewis. She lives in Tasmania, Australia. And we did kind of a This Is Your Life segment, as you can probably tell. And that was our final series of Happy Station's Listener's Choice, where you were able to vote on which Happy Station show interviews you wanted to hear again. We're going to be doing it next year. I don't know what it is yet, but next November in 2011, we'll list some interviews and you can vote then. Anyway, we do have time for another song by Frank Ifield. And this one I am going to play because I know that every Australian listening at this very moment will know the song, as well as I think many other people as well. So I'm not even going to introduce it. but it's probably one of the most recognizable songs connected with Australia. But this version and this arrangement is so different from anything else that had been done before. Here's Frank Ifield.
Hey, once a Dallas swagman camped by a billabong under the shade of a coolabah tree. He sang as he watched and he waited till his belly boiled. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me. Sing!
Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me.
And he laughed and he sang as he waited till his belly boiled. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me. To drink from the billabong, up jumped the swagman and he gobbled him with glee. He stuck the jolly jumbuck into his old sucker bag. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me once more now.
Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me.
And he sang as he watched and he waited till his billy boiled. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me. Squatter mounted on his thoroughbred, up rode the troopers, 1, 2, 3. Where's that jolly jumbuck that you've got in your tucker bag? Here come a waltzing Matilda with me. Sing!
Waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me.
And he sang as he watched and he waited till his belly boiled. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me. Swagman and he sprang into the billabong. You'll never take me alive, said he. This song can't be heard when you pass by the billabong. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me. Everybody now,
waltzing Matilda, waltzing Matilda. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me.
And he laughed and he sang as you sat by the billabong. Here come a waltzing Matilda with me. You'll come a waltzing Matilda with me.
Well, that's certainly a song you'll know. Waltzing Matilda, Frank Ifield. All right, you're listening to the International Happy Station Show. One of our good friends who listens to the program, Antonio Gomez, who I believe is in Portugal, but actually lived in South Africa for a time, a while ago reminded me of a very well-known comedian from Zimbabwe. Well, he's actually more known from the time when the country was known as Rhodesia. His name is Warwick Starr. And as I was doing some digging around, I found a wonderful recording of Warwick Starr. Now, he wasn't just a comedian. He actually worked as a newsreader for the then Rhodesian Broadcasting Corporation. And he produced several comedy records. And in 1988, he actually competed in the Olympics representing Zimbabwe in archery. So we're going to take a listen to one of the classic Warwick Starr tracks from 1976. And it's a take on radio in Rhodesia, or as it's known now, Zimbabwe. It's a good giggle.
This is Radio Manga. You have been listening to a special half-hour request program from 7:30 to 8 o'clock for 30 minutes. It's now 8 o'clock Greenwich. Meantime, here is the news. For the first time in the history of our country, snow fell today in the northern areas. For most of the population, except for those who have been students in Russia, this was their first sight of snow. The comments ranged from, "My goodness me." The Department of Public Health is becoming very generous with cotton wool. To, If this is a white Christmas, give it back to the pommies. Our army engineers were sent today to blow up a bridge in the neighboring territory, which is being used in anti-terrorist operations. The mission was entirely successful, and the bridge was completely destroyed. Unfortunately, they miscalculated slightly and blew up one of our own bridges. Tomorrow, the president will leave for Britain to have discussions with the British government. He will ask the British Prime Minister for ground-to-air missiles in order to control the menace of the quilia birds. At the Organization for African Unity Congress in Addis Ababa today, a resolution against Rhodesia was unanimously adopted. It stated gorekatically that the manure race from Enkeldoorn to Salisbury was a threat to world health. It was emphatically denied by the President's principal private secretary today that there is a secret romance between the President and Alice Sheena. In Parliament today, the Honourable Member for Maguzi South asked the Minister of Defence if in the event of an adoption of the Non-Nuclear Proliferation Treaty by all countries in Africa south of the Sahara, would it be possible to extend the compulsory age for military service from 6 to 60 with the proviso that the Agricultural Assistance Marketing Board would have the overall jurisdiction regarding manpower so as not to deplete the country's resources unnecessarily? The Minister of Defense replied, "Huh?" President Johnson today sent Senator Hubert Humphrey abroad, but Mr. Humphrey didn't like her, so he sent her back again. And finally, here is a report from the Meteorological Office. There will be weather all over the country tomorrow.
Rhodesian comedian Warwick Starr. And when he moved to the UK, he actually even worked as a comedy writer for the BBC. Fun stuff, isn't it? All right. Time now for a little bit more music. Our last song today is Never on a Sunday. Well, sometimes it is. Here's Ted Heath and his big band. Thank you. Ted Heath and his orchestra with a wonderful big band arrangement of the classic song Never on Sunday. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Happy Station. It's been nice to have you with me. Once again, our website is www.pcjmedia.com. And if you wish to get in touch with us, the email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com. Once again, pcjmedia@gmail.com. And of course, don't be shy. Add us to your Twitter and to your Facebook and everything else. All right. On behalf of our technician, Kevin Lee, our production assistant, Johan Backer, this is Keith Parent all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara. We would very much appreciate your comments and questions about our programming here at PCJ Radio. You can contact us via email at pcjradio@gmail.com. Once again, that's pcjmedia@gmail.com. We also invite you to visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com, and listen to all our programs. You can either download them from the website directly or subscribe to all our programs in iTunes at www.pcjmedia.com. And while you're at our website, do take part in the Happy Station Show Friendship Sponsorship Program. There are three levels: silver for $1, gold for $5, and platinum for $10. The selection is yours. This is PCJ Radio.